Hi, welcome to the Read, Play, Talk podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Paris.
And I'm your other host, Jack Love.
This podcast is a resource for parents and caregivers as we educate on the importance of reading, playing, and talking with children every day. In this episode, we are talking with MISD Superintendent Dr. David Vreunland about his hope and vision for the future of Read, Play, Talk in Mesquite and beyond.
Awesome. Let's get started. Welcome, Dr. B.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back.
Been right? Here
yeah.
Before.
So you were our very first guest in 2020 when we first got started here. Mm-hmm. It's kind of fitting that you get to be here again for us as you obviously are headed off to some new adventures. You know, a lot has happened since 2020. I mean, we've had, I don't know,
a lot. Yeah,
pandemics, wars, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, can you kind of give us an update of what's going on in your world and maybe what's to come?
Well, as everyone knows, I'm retiring, and Dr. Angel Rivera will be taking over, and for all the initiatives in Mesquite, including Read, Play, Talk, that is a really good thing, because he's dedicated to those things that we've been doing and wanting to iterate moving forward and making better. And so that's been a large part of my work over the last probably 6-7 months,
right,
is really making certain that as I prepare to retire, the things that we value in this community, that we value in this district, are continuing to move forward. And I always say it's really important to keep in mind as we talk about it moving forward, not necessarily the way Dave Vreunland would have moved it forward, but the way things iterate in life. And my hope for Read, Play, Talk is that it continues to grow and have a significant role in the lives of this community, and especially in the lives of our young people and our young families, as we try to prepare children to be ready for kindergarten and be successful by third grade. And I'm really excited about where Read, Play, Talk is going. I really thank both of you for your leadership in this work. This podcast is a perfect example of iterating something that was an idea that I would have never thought of. And so that's why I'm so thankful for your leadership and others who are engaged in this work as well. But for me, on a personal note, while I'm retiring from the superintendency, it's certainly my hope that outside of my role as a superintendent, I adopt a new role to really help try to evolve public education to meet the needs of our students in this current economy, which in my mind requires significant alteration to its current structure. And here in Mesquite, I've been able to do some of those things, but I'm excited about carrying that work forward beyond the boundaries of Mesquite ISD.
Yeah, the world is changing, and it's changing fast.
Rapidly.
And I'm not sure, I think you've done a great job of alerting people of our community, but I'm not sure that people all around the country understand how fast it's moving and how slow other things are catching up with.
And you know, Jack, I think people recognize that things are happening fast, but I think they're confused as to how to respond to it.
Maybe so, yeah.
And part of that is we get stuck in our paradigms, right? We get stuck in the way we've always done things. It's why I've been so excited to sit at the helm of Mesquite ISD, because I have a wonderful board that allows me to do some innovative things. And I have a community of leaders, both inside Mesquite ISD as well as within the community of Mesquite, that are really open to new ways of thinking about things. Read, Play, Talk is a perfect example of that. This was an idea that needed to happen primarily to engage the community as leaders in this work, that it becomes more of a community effort than just a school district effort.
Sure.
Because sometimes it seems self-serving when it's just a school district effort. But when the whole community is engaged in the power behind this, and what you said earlier about moving it beyond the boundaries of Mesquite, we want to do that with Read, Play, Talk because of its potential impact in the lives of young people. And I think we're all designed to want to have impact in our unique ways. And so very excited about that. But you're absolutely right. The speed of change is phenomenal.
It's only going to get faster.
Absolutely.
Well, we know whatever you do post your superintendency, you'll do well, because you're just an extremely passionate person and can really cast some incredible vision and get people on board, which is what you did with Read, Play, Talk. One of the first initiatives, I don't know if it was the first or one of the first.
It was very, very close.
Yeah.
I think it was within roughly 5 or 6 months after being here that we started developing this idea, and probably within 4 months of that, put it on the ground. Definitely in my first year, we put this on the ground. And of course, Lindsay, under your leadership, it has really flourished. And so I'm very thankful for that. And
thank you.
Your passion as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But why was that something, Read, Play, Talk, why was that so important to you to introduce it so early on in this position?
I think that's a really great question. And for me, important to always center on the why. Obviously, I've been an educator for a long time, grew up around poverty as a child. And many of you listening know, but some of you may not, grew up in foster homes, dad in jail, all those kind of really tragic stories that young people experience. But I had the great fortune of having a wonderful foster family and having an education system that poured into me. And it gave me an opportunity to move beyond the conditions of my birth. And the family really stressed reading. And I think one of the things, I just took that for granted, like that's just what you do, of course. But then I started, you know, as an educator, I started seeing things that surprised me in terms of young people's readiness. And then, of course, you read the University of Chicago research, and when you hear, whether you can debate the number, it's not really important, but when you hear that a student from poverty generally has used vocabulary 30 million fewer times than their peer not from poverty, that's something that's a call to action. And you can't blame the circumstances of birth for that. You have to stand up and do something about it. And I think too often than not, we tend to look at it and feel defenseless in the face of those realities. Rather, what we wanted to do was actually say, no, we're going to go out and we're going to do something to try to engage parents, help them understand the significance of reading and playing and talking every day, and do it in a way that's not casting blame, but doing it in a way that supports them as they care deeply about their child's opportunities in the future. And we know how significant being ready by kindergarten and on grade level by third grade is in terms of a student's opportunity to be successful post-graduation. So to me, that was a call to action. Read, Play, Talk just was born out of the research.
Right.
And the research, and this is for me, we often hear, well, there's no silver bullet. And I would argue there is one actually, you know, and I hate that metaphor, but there actually is one. If you simply take the time to read, to play, to talk with your child, and some of that needs some guidance, because when we think talk at versus returns and talk with. And I know that's weird when you're talking to a child who's one.
Right.
It's like, what are they going to tell you? But you want them in their own way to actually talk back. And I think we need to help people develop that understanding, because it matters for their children and it matters for them. And ultimately, it matters for our community and our country. So for me, this work, the why of this work, was just something that was urgent. When you have a district that's 80% free and reduced, and I'm passionate about those kids and those families, we want to serve them and serve them well, but we also want to empower them. And Read, Play, Talk does that.
Yeah, I love it, because Read, Play, Talk really has two main components. The awareness component, where we do want to bring about the reality of our current, you know, economic status in our families and our kids, and the likeliness that they are going to enter kindergarten behind. But it's like, no, but we have a solution.
Right.
So there's the education piece that comes alongside of it, to where we really want to empower and equip parents to set their child up for success. But you really do have such a passion for this initiative. And I'm glad you shared your story, because it's a really great mixture of like your life experience giving you that passion, but also combining the research that you have seen. I know University of Chicago, you've done a lot of research, read a lot of their research on it, but it's the combination of those two, the passion, your life experiences, and the research, that I think is what has allowed Read, Play, Talk to really take off in our community, just to see your passion behind it.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that always sticks out to me that I think helps, oftentimes we want to throw money at a problem.
Right.
And we, you know, if you just had an extra $10,000, we could fix it. It doesn't always work that way, and I think this is a beautiful example of that. This doesn't cost anything, except for maybe some time where you got to spend, which you need to do anyway.
Yeah.
So it's free to read to your child. It's free to play with your child, and it's certainly free to talk with your child.
And what I love, too, Jack, is, and the research bears this out, it doesn't matter what language it's in.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're not talking about having to get a college education or something to be able to do this work with your child. And our families are challenged in many. We have a working class community. I'm really proud of that. They go and they earn a check, right? This is not some community expects handouts.
Yeah.
But that puts them in a place where they need to know from us, from business leaders, from community leaders, these are the steps you can take, even in the midst of that very hard life, that you can take with your children and set them up for success. And to me, it's hopeful, right?
Absolutely.
There's nothing about this work that causes me concern. Mm-hmm. It causes me to be hopeful because it's right there in front of us, and we just need to figure out more ways to engage parents in this so that our children can be prepared.
Yeah. And when I talk to people, I always tell them, you don't need to read them Encyclopedia Britannica, right? Goodnight Moon and all of those stories. And you can tell them 50 times. It's just interacting and talking and listening and making something fun. Right. You can make a book different every single time you read it.
Oh, 100%. Because right? You don't just read Midnight Moon. You talk about the pictures in there with your child and what's that? And what color is that? And you that's the conversation that occurs while you're reading a book. And your child develops to that. I know my own granddaughter who goes to school here in Mesquite. My son has taken it upon himself to really embrace Read, Play, Talk. He makes it a mission. And her readiness level at kindergarten was really significant. And there were no special books. They were the same books I read to my sons. You know, the same kind of Dr. Seuss books and the little, I don't even know what you call it, 3-inch books. You know,
the board little, books or whatever.
Yeah, whatever they're called. Yeah, it's just, we read those same books. Yeah. But, you know, we also sat on the floor and played and played with blocks and all that kind of stuff and talked about colors as we played with blocks. And I think it's an easy thing to do for parents, but I don't think they realize that that is actually the magic to opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Or how many ways it can be used. I'll do a plug for Lena Start because I'm a huge fan of it, obviously.
Really? I've never heard of it.
I'll tell you about it afterwards. But that's why I love Lena Start so much is because I've said from the beginning, I think parents, they really want to provide the best for their child, but they don't know how. And Lena is 10 sessions of us giving parents practical examples, ways to use a book, 100 different ways, you know, instead of just starting at the first word and going to the end. Mm-hmm. And it really does just empower parents and they leave with this sense of like, I can do this. I'm equipped in everything that I am to set my child up for success.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So as we talk about RPT, obviously it's grown, it's evolved since it was first introduced in 2016. I mean, growing number of community partners that I know Lindsay's proud of, community events. We have them at the mall. We have them at Mesquite High School, RPT, bus, parenting classes.
Let's just like roll past the bus. We'll just say it.
This podcast, Lena Start. I mean, there's just so many things. And as we look back to your initial vision, how's it evolved in a way that you thought it would? I mean, has it? And are there any like missing components that you would still like to see developed?
Jack, just like anything, if you hire good people, you build capacity, and you get out of the way, things will evolve in ways you could have never envisioned.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what's happened here. This has moved beyond what I would have envisioned. I've stayed active with it. Lindsay and I, a number of times, we've had conversations about some things we can do. And I think there's still some really amazing things yet to come as we look at ways to engage families in this work. But from my perspective, this has gone so far beyond what I would have expected it to do. And the effort made on the part of citizens like yourself who are dedicated to this is so appreciated. But I think it's, for me, the key was building ownership. I mean, you guys have taken ownership of this. You don't really need me anymore. It's your baby. I know that sometimes people think of this as my baby. It's like, well, it may have been my idea, but it's no longer my baby. It's been passed on. Someone else is taking care of this thing, and they love it, and they care deeply about it, and they want to make it work for the kids of this community. And for me, that was significant. It's just putting people in place to evolve it, iterate it in ways I could have never envisioned. And that has already happened. My own vision was, can we get the community engaged behind this and start really pushing this message out? And then over time, can we start actually gathering information about how we're actually impacting families? But that was my whole idea. I mean, that's about the limit of it.
Yeah.
And we knew we needed to put a board together. We knew we needed to bring someone in who would actually lead the process. And I'd actually met Lindsay in a different environment. And when we went out, I said, you better interview this individual because she is passionate about this work. And certainly it has proven to be true. It was an amazing hire for us. And it's resulted in iterations, again, I couldn't have envisioned. Yeah. And I'm certain moving forward, there'll be things happening that I'll be proud to see, but have very little to do with my mind and much more to do with the ownership of the organization.
Well, I can tell you, you had me hooked. I mean, I think you know that from the very first time that you pitched it.
Well, you did the center there. You didn't even say that in your little ramp up.
Yeah,
the center there at the mall and pushing that. And that was amazing. COVID hit it, obviously.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to see that spring back. And we have more authors coming there. And we have more engagement.
Yeah, we're back with
story time.
Yeah,
okay.
Just so this semester.
But to your point, you know, when I started that, I came to you and said, hey, why don't we be a partner in it? Because I thought it was, it was important for you to be a partner in it from the school district standpoint. And you said, well, yeah, I'm happy to be your partner, but we need the city in there as well.
Yeah.
And to our credit, to our city's credit, they got it. They got involved really quickly as well. So maybe it's my simple mind. It just seemed so simple to me and so easy.
It is. It's the simplest things that are amazing, though, in life.
Yeah.
I mean, often it's that way.
And I'm proud to be a part of it, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm really excited. Again, you know, we're talking about things where we might be able to get into the homes and start doing some things there with visits. We're talking about doing some stuff with another company that wants to sponsor this work and sending packages home. There are a lot of things that I think are still on the horizon that we can do as we try more and more to engage families and make poverty less of an issue in the preparation of a child at kindergarten.
Yeah, poverty shouldn't keep you from reading, period.
Should not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're all victims of our own experiences. That is absolutely a truth that could be put out there along with death and taxes.
Yeah.
Our experiences inform how we behave.
Yeah.
And all we're trying to do is build mindsets in people that your experiences are not necessarily the thing you need to do for your child. And especially when it comes to preparation for this, we need to get literature in front of them. And man, we have so many organizations out there in Mesquite right now. I know the Retired Teachers Association, the Rotary Club, I think some other organizations you may have at the tip of your tongue have been engaged in getting books into the hands of our kiddos. My own wife actually is a grandmother, if you will, to my granddaughter's classroom. And
they call her Grammy,
They call her Grammy.
Yes.
And I'd love to see more Grammys. I mean, this could be an amazing Read, Play, Talk thing. I didn't realize how powerful it was until Joy came home. That's my wife's name. Until she came home one day and said, I talked to the teacher. We're going to buy a book for every child in this class. But it's not just the same book. I asked the teacher what their interests are. And so she went online to Amazon and purchased a book.
It wasn't particularly expensive,
based on their interest. Wrapped it, gave it to them for Christmas. Those kids were so excited.
Yeah.
And to see the joy in my own wife's eyes as she watched them open them and then ask if they could keep them and ask if they could keep the wrapping paper.
Mm.
I mean, that's a special moment. And I would love to see grandmothers all over Mesquite in classrooms having that same special moment. You don't need to be wealthy to buy, you know, those books.
Yeah.
They weren't expensive books.
Right.
I did Read Across America one year and I had a fifth grade class. And so I reached out to the teacher and said, hey, what do they like? And so she gave me a list of books and I bought one book. It was the same book for the entire class and gave it to her. And they were, like you said, they were ecstatic. Like, holy, some of those kids I bet had not received just something free like that.
Right. Well, and Jack, and I say this all the time, as we get older, the joy that we experience is not in what we receive, it's in what we give. And it's always been that case. That's not a new reality. But I would love to see our community members get to see that. To experience that is amazing. And the joy of that is just something that's hard to communicate very effectively. But, you know, and this is my last podcast, very likely, unless you guys invite me back But one of the things I always say when I write letters and often when I close things, I always close with, I hope your life is blessed. But more importantly, I hope your life is a blessing to others.
Yeah.
And I think that's an opportunity to be a blessing to others. And community leaders out there, business leaders out there, if you want to bless the lives of young people, get involved in Read, Play, Talk.
Mm-hmm.
It will be an amazing opportunity for you to really have impact. And it doesn't require a ton of money. It just requires a dedication to them.
Yeah.
To kind of circle back, all of these ways that Read, Play, Talk has evolved, it's with the intent to be a blessing to the families, like to provide resources to them, to empower them. And I do love that tagline that you always do at the end of your emails, because it is so inspiring. Like, yes, you want us to be blessed and to feel blessed, but more it's about, like, what are we doing for others? Like, what are we giving to them and how are we impacting lives? Which is hopefully what Read, Play, Talk is doing in all of these different avenues.
It absolutely is.
I want to say this, but the reason it's been able to evolve in the way that it has is because of your support, support from other assistant superintendents, support from the board. I mean, just overall support from principals, teachers, community members.
It all has to work together, right?
Yes.
Right.
It's not one person. It's not just Dr. V that makes this thing roll and go. It's not just
that
me.
Won't work.
No, no, it won't work for any of us
And it really is important to point out that we've got a school board here that understands these things. There's a lot of places that don't have the school board
We're
that functions
fortunate.
As well as we do.
Right, right.
And it has a vision that they do.
And you know, with COVID coming, hopefully, and let's hope we don't have any new variant jump up, but the numbers are extremely low right now in our schools. But hopefully if that's done, if you'll recall, before this hit, almost all of our elementary schools were doing Read, Play, Talk fairs.
Yeah, literacy
nights.
They
were doing literacy nights and things like that, but we need to make sure those spring back. You know, that the reading clubs with the younger
baby
than
book clubs.
The baby
yes.
book clubs, mm-hmm. those need to, and they're starting to come back
they
at
are.
A lot of our schools. We need to see those come back. And even as community members, and I said this all the time, you know, I love the thing that we read, I think it was in Ohio, if I remember right, where the barber was
right.
basically giving either free or really reduced haircuts if the child would just read books.
I think he gave them like a dollar or two,
yeah.
like if he would read, if the child would read to him
yeah.
while he was cutting their hair.
Yeah, something like
mm-hmm.
that. It's like our community leaders, our businesses can do unique things based yeah. on their profile. That's why it's always been not doing our strategy.
Yeah.
What works for you as a business to deploy Read, Play, Talk? And I think that strategy has allowed businesses to engage in ways that they might not have otherwise done so if they'd been one single strategy for everybody.
And it's taken them aback too, right? Because sometimes mm-hmm. they're like, wait, what? You want me to just, I can figure out how to do this? You're
yeah.
not, you don't have
we'll
a,
help you,
yes,
right? right?
You don't
yeah.
want me to pay any money?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
always a question, like, how much
yeah.
does this cost?
Yeah.
Like, nothing.
Yeah. Depends
yep.
what you want to spend.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
But is there anything looking back, you know, seeing all of these programs and different things that have evolved, is there anything that you're particularly proud of or anything that stands out to you?
That's a tough question for me because I see them as a one thing, you know, so it's hard for me to, you know, separate like Lena Start from Replay Talk, I mean, from the bus.
Although the bus is the correct answer because that has been
that's pretty cool, right?
Well, that has been the journey to
yeah,
get
right?
that done.
One took a little bit longer, right? For strangest of reasons,
yes,
that
right.
one took a little longer, and I can't wait to see how that really evolves. I know it's already being used quite a bit, but I can't wait to see how that continues to have a presence and in our community and perhaps beyond our community. But I guess I would say that the thing that I'm most excited about is that Lena Start piece. And where that may go with other efforts to engage families, right? We've done a great job of engaging businesses and getting them involved and working with families. But between the community event, I mean, where you guys do some training with parents and then the Lena Start and perhaps some other things we're going to do on that path of engaging parents more to give them the resources and the empowerment they need to do the things they want with their children, I think is really special. And I want to say this because I think it's really important. We talk about a lot in the frame of poverty, but the truth is with the Lena Start, some of our early adopters, they're not poor at all.
No. Yeah.
And they were empowered by their learning. They
very much
gave
so.
A lot of feedback about how this helped them as parents.
Mm-hmm.
All parents
mm-hmm.
need things that help them resource or help resource them as they try to work with their children and be better parents. All of us want to be better parents.
Right.
And as one whose children have grown up, sometimes there are things that you regret that you didn't do that you wish if you, in hindsight, you'd known better, you would have jumped on that right away. We all know that, Jack. You got children who are older, and so you understand that.
Yeah.
And probably everyone listening understands what I just said. This is an opportunity to empower parents with knowledge that, you know, they may need. They may already have it for all I know, but there are many who need it. I think that path is the thing that probably most proud of and where that's going, most interested in seeing.
Yeah, even the families that know it, you know, and you alluded to that earlier, it just enforces it so much more. And we got so many comments from our pilot group for Lena Start that just said it made the actions and interactions more purposeful between the parent and the child and more intentional to where...
Less of an accident.
Exactly, yes. Like you're intentionally introducing new vocabulary words, engaging with them in times that you wouldn't normally. So yes, all families benefit from this information.
I know, like with my son, as I just said, he had experiences growing up of reading and playing and talking on a regular basis, and it influenced his vocabulary a great deal. He's been far more deliberate about that process than we were as parents because I didn't even know some of this stuff as a parent.
Yeah.
And so I did it because that's what was done with me for the most part.
Right.
And so my children weren't disadvantaged by vocabulary use by any stretch. But having a deliberate process of making certain that it is a ritual to read, play, and talk every day with your child, that's a different thing. And what it's set up for my granddaughter is for her, and now my grandson too, to be in positions of having great access to vocabulary and reading. I'll just share this. Christmas Day, I was just blown away. My granddaughter's five. She's a normal five-year-old. And she was opening a present at my house on Christmas Day. When she opened it, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like a word like space or exploration or something like that. And she didn't sound it out. She looked at it and said, my first dinosaur puzzle or something like that. And that's exactly what it said. And I was like, oh my gosh, did y'all just see that?
Yeah.
To me, that's the power of reading. That's the power of being ready. And that doesn't happen if my son's not reading to her on a regular basis and then school supporting that effort. And she has a great teacher at Shaw Elementary.
Yeah. It's not happening by accident.
No, it is not an accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I joke, I may have messed with my boys, but I'm going to have Einstein grandchildren.
Right.
Because I think I've learned so much just through this replay talk stuff. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel guilty. I'm like, oh man, I should have known that.
Right.
But I get another opportunity, I think, I hope.
Coming around.
Right? But just like that thing we call turns, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't even think about that. And I wonder how often I stifled my son's responses. I would ask a lot of questions, but I wonder how often I stifled it by giving an answer to the question I asked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of allowing that child to actually kind of come out with their own answer.
Yeah.
And you know, so those are things that I wouldn't have probably thought a lot about.
Yeah.
But, you know, after seeing the Lena Start presentation and encouraging them to come here, I was keenly aware of.
Mm-hmm. Growing up, I always tried to engage him with, when I got home from school, I try not to say, how was school today? Because you're just going to get, oh, all right, you know. I would say something like, what did you learn in school today? I did those types of things, but there's so much more, that's so much easier that it just didn't occur to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. You've said before that Replay Talk, you'd like to see it go beyond MISD and even hinted at other districts adopting the initiative and that type of stuff. So why is it necessary for Replay Talk to move beyond Mesquite?
Because we have a mission beyond the boundaries, and we should. And Jack, I say this with respect to anyone listening. I think we've all been designed, perhaps uniquely, but with one thing in mind, and that is to have impact. And whatever that impact may look like, right? I believe that. I'm certain there will be people who disagree with that statement, but I believe in that. And your impact can't, if you have an ethical or moral responsibility within your own community, you can't contain it within your community and think, I'm doing my job, right? And so for me, it's not about even Replay Talk as a brand per se. It's about the efforts of Replay Talk need to be something that stretches beyond the boundaries of Mesquite. And even in Texas alone, as an example, 60% of the students who attend school in Texas today are from free and reduced families.
Wow.
And so when you recognize that, you have an obligation, I believe, as a state and as a community, to lean into every work you can do to make certain that the effects of poverty are not limiting that student from being ready for school. And so for me, when I look at Replay Talk, it's not so much just the title Replay Talk. That would certainly be nice because it has a certain kind of aesthetic that I like.
Right.
And when everyone's on the same page, I think it's helpful. But the components of Replay Talk need to be a part of every community. We need businesses to engage in this strategically in their own way. It doesn't need to be one big state strategy. That's not how communities really engage. It needs to be businesses all over Dallas-Fort Worth engaging in this work to further this in their own unique way. And it, by the way, it benefits them long run.
Yeah.
But it also, I taught history for a long time, and I care about this country. I really do, because I kind of have that kind of national spirit. I love this country. It's done a lot for me. That is for certain. And Jack, it's just a truth of history. You cannot isolate people from opportunity, especially large groups of people. You cannot do that and survive. History is replete with examples of that very thing. You cannot do that. Everyone needs to have access. And it's not enough to say, well, it's there. There are things that have to be overcome. And in this case, what I believe is we need to make certain we are doing all that we can to empower parents to understand the value of reading and playing and talking. And for me, it's frustrating to hear people constantly talk about how poverty affects education or learning or opportunity instead of talking about these are the things we can do.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. I think a blind man can see the obvious of it requires someone to think more in terms of hope and opportunity to do the other. That's why I think Replay Talk, moving beyond the boundaries of Mesquite, is really important. There's a lot of work that we do in Mesquite that I want to see move beyond the boundaries of Mesquite and have influence in the lives of young people, because I think they have great value.
Yeah.
Now, someone can disagree with me, and that's fine. That's life in America, and right. I respect that. But for me, that's the why of it.
You know, the upside for us today is we're more connected than we've ever been in any time ever, right? That, so yeah. These messages can get to people a lot better, a lot easier, a lot more efficiently yeah. than we could have ever dreamed of.
100%.
Even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
So. Absolutely.
I'm glad you said, you know, you hope it moves beyond Mesquite, not necessarily as Read, Play, Talk, but like the efforts yeah. of it, right? I was asked a question, this is a couple of months ago, basically like, how do I deal with competitors of Read, Play, Talk? And they listed all these organizations. And I said, I don't look at them as competitors. Like, they have the same mission as we right. do. You know, they're just targeting a different area. Yeah. I think Dallas ISD, they just came out with an early literacy initiative that right. they're rolling out. And someone in the office was like, what do you think about that? I'm like, I think that's great because right. it's getting the message yeah. to those kids in Dallas ISD, yeah. which is so important. Right. Like, we don't look at this, even other districts who've contacted me, like, I want to know what you're doing. I'm not like hiding my information no. because it's a secret, yeah. you know, weapon.
We actually
or
want
anything.
You to do it better.
Here you go.
Yeah.
I'm like, here's the material. The only thing we did really was trademark the replay talk thing because we
which was also an ordeal, but yeah. we got that done.
because of things that we might want to do with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure.
But if someone wanted to use it,
yes.
we'll give you permission
and I'll
to
tell
use
them
it,
like
right?
these are yeah. lessons I learned the hard way yeah. don't do it like this you know
yeah,
do
exactly.
it another way
but I you know if a district wants to actually use Read, Play, Talk, great. All I care about is they understand reading, playing, and talking. The problem has been to a certain degree, Jack, that the focus has strictly been on reading.
I agree.
We've talked about that.
There's nothing wrong with a focus on reading, but it's more than that. If you're really trying to undo the impact of the 30 million word gap,
yeah.
you've got to do more than just read. There's got to be that talk, that return that's occurring, that engagement, and that occurs through play. And play also creates. It leads to creation and creativity and kinesthetic movement and things of that nature. And so for me, that's the most important thing as we talk about moving beyond the boundaries of Mesquite. It's not so much that they adopt Read, Play, Talk. It's that they understand the tenets of Read, Play, Talk, and they deploy those.
Yeah.
One of my concerns in many reading initiatives is that's what they are, is reading initiatives. Mm-hmm. Those are good things. But sans talking and playing, they're missing a key component to that
right. You know,
opportunity.
And when we did the play area, it was very important to me to be able to work all of those into
yes.
the play area. And I'm like, how am I going to work reading into the... And we figured it out. We put stands in where people can sit and we can read to yeah. them. So I agree wholeheartedly that oftentimes we hear read and then we forget about play talk.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of books. People yeah. always want to bring in a lot of books. But then yeah.
yes.
But we need, you know, there's yeah. there's other components.
We need play and talk.
Yeah.
I'm excited that Mesquite has actually created more play opportunities for young people across it. Just this day, I saw some stuff on new parks and splash pads and whatnot yeah. for families. I think that's super important. As long as families aren't just dropping the kids off.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, you've got to be a part of that play.
Which you know, is where the education component
yeah,
comes
like,
in.
And so I'll come across different districts that say, oh, I really love that Read, Talk, Play. I don't correct them.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because they've got all three. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they call it Talk, Read, Play, Talk, Play, Talk, Talk,
right.
Play, Read. I don't care. For us, it's Read, Play, Talk because aesthetically that worked.
Yeah, it right? sounds better. Makes sense.
But you know, for me, that's the point, is that we want to see that happen so that we can have an impact beyond our boundaries, which, again, I go back to my belief system. That's what we were designed to do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for
being— I have
being,
one more
oh,
question.
Oh, you got another question? Oh, I was ready to wrap it up.
Jack's
more.
Cutting me off.
He's
had enough of Dave, and
no.
now he's like, no.
No, I have one more. And I'm actually very excited about this because I think a lot of people, if you were to ask them what kind of leader is Dr. V, visionary is something that's probably at the top of the list. And especially when you came to Mesquite ISD, just casting a lot of vision for the future. And so I'm wondering, as you prepare to leave Mesquite ISD, can you maybe like share your vision for the future of Read, Play, Talk, what you hope it becomes maybe yeah. in 5 or 10 years from now?
Absolutely. And I appreciate the title visionary leader. For me, that's something that I value is being someone who can look down the road and see what opportunity is there, but also pragmatic. And I've always seen myself as pragmatic in meaning here's a vision and we can do this. It doesn't need to sit in vision, right? And so I say that to your question, what I vision down the road, frankly, is that we become a hub of this work and that Lindsay Paris, Jack Love, and the others are actually helping communities understand how to deploy this in their communities and how to help them really do this work. To me, that's powerful. And I know we're talking about like a museum in Mesquite. That would be fantastic as long as that museum in Mesquite is doing that very thing. It's not just a place to visit and see some really cool displays and bring kids in and do that's good. But I want to see this become the heart. Dr. Rivera said not too long ago in one of his new meetings with the public, he said that he really wants Mesquite to be the hub of leadership. And I appreciate that vision. And I know where he's trying to go with that because we're doing some amazing things around developing leaders. So I love that. My vision for this is the same thing. I want this to be the hub of Read, Play, Talk and its strategies. And I want us to be the ones who are helping other communities know how to deploy this in their community, who become owners of this work, not replicants of us, but owners of the work. And so that for me would be my vision. And I think it can be a reality in a very short time if we want to make it so.
I hope so. I love that so much. We've talked about that, Jack. You always say, like, we need to take this Read, Play, Talk thing on the road.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Like, I mean, maybe one day.
One day. I love that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, again, I'll finish this podcast with what I said earlier. I want to thank you all for being the blessing. I think you guys have been an amazing blessing to our community. I think this work is a blessing to our community and beyond. And I know it has blessed your life as well. So thank you so much.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Dr. V, thank you so much for being a part of this today. Thank you for being a part of our community for, 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
We look forward to hoping that you continue to be a part of our community. I know that you want to. And I hope Lindsay agrees. I think you've left the district in a way better place. Not to say that it was bad, but but you've moved it in a direction, the right direction, much further than I think any of us would have thought we would have been 7 years ago. And that's a testament to you. And I'm so pleased that we've got another superintendent who's coming in behind you that shares your vision as well. Maybe not the exact vision, or he may not do it the exact same way, but I know his priorities are your priorities, which is awesome. So thank you for all that you've done for Mesquite Independent School
District. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for
that. Thank you, Dr. V. Thanks for listening to today's episode with our guest, Dr. David Vreeland. If you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. We would love it if you would share this episode with friends and other families in our community that could benefit from this information. We encourage you to follow us on all of our social media platforms for ideas on how to read, play, and talk together at home. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Read, Play, Talk and on Twitter at Read, Play, Talk TX.